The number of contract award protests coming through by unsuccessful bidders has been on the upswing over the past few years, but what some are calling a simple idea could turn the needle in the other direction. In his weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about why improving industry and agency communication could make procurements go more smoothly. Jason joins me now with more on this. Jason, protests, people love to talk about them, but they're like the weather. Nothing seems to change much or anyone can do anything about them.
Just depends on the season, right? And here we are almost mid-November now, and GAO usually puts out their annual bid protest report. So timeliness, you know, sometimes you get it right, Tom. Sometimes you get it wrong. And this is one of those times when I think we're right on the cusp of understanding another year of bid protests. And I believe my intuition tells me things are going up. But one way to bring them down, according to Rob Burton, who's a former deputy administrator at the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and now a partner with Venable, is simple. Communication. Better oral debriefings between the government and the contractor, and specifically, obviously, the ones that didn't win the award. Rob, who's been in private sector now for the last few years, has said, listen, he's shocked about how the government goes through the debriefing process, or in some cases doesn't go through the debriefing process at all. And it is, he comes out and says, basically, if the communication is better, fewer protests will happen. And he goes, it's just that simple. And I think he has a point. I mean, Tom, this idea of better vendor government communication is not new. It just doesn't seem to ever kind of catch on with a lot of long legs.
Although sometimes when the government does do the debriefing, they reveal details that make the losers sit up and say, wait a minute, that's not what you said you were going to evaluate us on. And so maybe the more communication, I don't know, it's possible that could produce protests.
Well, what Rob is saying, according to his experience of representing both large and small companies, is, in fact, you get, because the information that you get during the debriefing, you're going to get anyways during a protest. If the government just gives it to you up front, the case is either made or lost right then and there in the documents. This is not, you know, a criminal where you have to prove someone, unfortunately, you know, stole something or got murdered. But this is really a pretty black and white case. Did you say what you were going to do? And do you have the documentation to prove it? And what Rob basically is saying is, and he gives a great example. He said he was representing a company who lost the big contract. The company was going to protest. Rob called the lawyer. The lawyer actually invited him in. They sat down and looked at all the documentation. And Rob actually went back to his client and said, don't protest. You're not going to win. It's not worth the time or the money. And he goes, those type of what he calls simple innovations make all the difference in the world, because they're seeing the documentation before they file the protest versus seeing the documentation after they file the protest. And as Rob said, you're going to do this anyways. We're going to see this information. So on the front end is better than on the back end.
All right. Well, so that brings up the question of the Mythbusters campaign that was launched early in the Obama administration by the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. Mythbuster, one of the myths they were trying to bust was the fact that there can be no communication between vendors and industry and the government pre-solicitation. Did that have any effect? Whatever happened to Mythbusters?
You know, Mythbusters came out was a very interesting idea. It was a concept that I think needed at the time and still needed today. But I think it's waned. I don't think there's a lot of push from the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. I don't think there was a trickle-down effect into the people who are doing the contracts day in and day out. I think, you know, the chief acquisition officers understood it, the senior procurement executives understood it, but as you got further down the chain of the people who are actually executing the contract awards and going through the RFP process, I'm not sure it got down to them. And then on top of that, I think there was no top cover support. You know, Tom, we talk about this a lot. One of the biggest challenges in government is the risk aversion of the employees for fear of being slapped on the hand by the IG or being called before Congress. And instead of the top-level support from the CAOs, from the senior procurement executives, from OFPP, I'm not sure that continued along deep into the Obama administration. And in fact, we haven't even heard about Mythbusters version 3, version 4, whatever they're up to now. Over the last 3 or 4 years, it's been very quiet. And I think that they had a little bit of momentum in the beginning, but I think what we're seeing with the increase in bid protests is the almost, well, we tried, it didn't work, move on now. Let's just go back to the, you know, usual way of business.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And Jason, also, you write that maybe there is some onus on the government to, on contractors to do some communication of their own pursuant to this kind of open communications ideal leading to fewer protests?
I think it's important to understand that this is not about just one-way communication. I think that the vendors also have to make sure the government understands their process. And in fact, over at the Homeland Security Department, they're trying to do that. Harrison Smith is the industry liaison for DHS, and he told a very interesting story a couple weeks back at the ACT-IAC ELC conference, where he says, listen, we were trying to communicate with vendors. We're doing these things called reverse industry days, where industry actually presents to the government instead of the government always presenting to industry. He goes, another piece of that is we actually asked 11 companies to provide redacted versions of debriefings that the agency gave them in an effort to improve those meetings. Of those 11 requests, only 2 vendors participated. So 9 said, basically, we talked to our lawyers. They didn't let us do it. They wouldn't let us do it. And that really was a big head-scratcher to Harrison Smith because he said, listen, this is going to make us all better. Why not participate? So I think while the government can, you know, require debriefings and should do debriefings, the industry has got to help the government understand how to get better as well. So while maybe not a one-to-one, Tom, I'd say, you know, it's maybe a 60-40, if 65-35 type of split government to industry in terms of who has responsibilities for debriefings.
All right, switching lanes here on this procurement roadway you're writing about, you also say in your today's Inside the Reporter's Notebook that IT reforms happening under FITARA, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, are starting to take hold. What's the latest there?
So this comes from the hearing that the Oversight and Government Reform Committee held last week on releasing the first FITARA scorecard, how agencies did. Now, Tom, a lot of the grades were red. A lot of agencies did not perform well. But when you dig into the three agencies that actually testified, Treasury, Transportation, GSA, there's a lot more going on than those scorecards and than maybe we even realize. Let me just give you a couple examples. Over at the Treasury Department, the Bureau's Chief Information Officer, Sunny Bagawalia, says that they've lowered the amount of money they're spending on legacy systems by almost 5% over the last 3 years. Now you think, oh, that's only 5%. But that's 5% more going toward the mission areas, going toward new development and modernization.
That could be tens of millions of dollars.
Exactly. And then that also meant that they're also delivering projects more quickly. Sunny Bagawala, the CIO of Treasury, says they went from 240 days in 2011 on average to deliver capabilities to less than 100 days to deliver capabilities. Now, 100 days is still a long time, but hey, it's a lot better than 240 days. Over at the Transportation Department, just another example, there, you know, Richard McKinney, the CIO there, talks about wanting to move 60 to 70% of all his commodity IT to a shared service or an enterprise service, and they're actually moving down that path now with what he calls, we're going to move our entire messaging system, he said, to the Microsoft 365 cloud. He goes, that's about 400 terabytes of storage. So it's a lot of information they're moving up to the cloud. And these are just 2 examples. So I think while the scorecards look bad on the surface, there's a lot going on underneath, if you will, the covers that people just don't know about. And I think it's worth bringing up that the progress is being made. Again, but like a GAO report, Tom, more progress is needed.
All right. So, yeah, well, I guess that's kind of the story of the year. And I wanted to ask you just about one other thing that is in the day book today, if I can call that one up. You are also writing about the fact that agencies' acquisition oversight systems, there's something we talked about, OFPP and the Mythbusters, that's kind of faded, but now there's verification of oversight systems coming from OFPP.
Right, so this is something called Earned Value Management Systems, EVMS, and we've talked about Earned Value Management for a long time. And the idea behind EVMS is our systems that basically, simplistic is make it easy as possible, is they keep track of cost, schedule, performance, and other criteria to make sure projects are on track. Now, previously what would happen, Tom, is a vendor would basically have a system, an agency would use the vendor's system, they'd have to certify it. Then another agency would use the same vendor's system, and they would have to certify it. And the certification could cost up to $1 million per certification. And what OFPP did basically was say, we're going to make this easier, or we're going to encourage reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
Thank you, reciprocity. To share the certifications to save money and become more efficient. And this actually came from the National Dialogue to Improve Federal Procurement. This was one of the ideas. So I think very quietly this memo came out. In fact, I spoke with somebody from OFPP and said, hey, you didn't tell me about this memo. They said, oh, we've been working on this for months. It's not that big of a deal. But in fact, when you talk to vendors, it is a huge deal.
All right. Well, there's a lot more to read there. Jason Miller is the executive editor of Federal News Radio. You can share this interview with colleagues. Jason, we'll let you go, but keep on digging them up.
Thank you, Tom.